Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, multidimensional multitasker, Tracy. you do that so gracefully.
Oh, and there we pull in Grace. We can't wait to introduce Grace.
So gracefully. Over there, you would never know that she's over there going, she's so good.
And we're not even in Mercury retrograde or anything.
No, huh? She's so good and loving.
Grace is being, yeah. We're just going to keep messing with your name, you poor little soul. Bless your heart.
Yeah, so if you haven't realized, I've actually introduced our guest without officially introducing her.
Very, yes. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we are continuing on our QHHT Level 3 series. So exciting. Always love these shows because we get to know more about our wonderful Level 3 practitioners. So without further ado, so excited to have our guest tonight. One of our newer, I always say that, and then I'm like, well, I don't remember. So I'm sorry if you aren't new, Grace, but I mean, because I worked with you for so long ago. That's where I'm like going, I don't remember when you got through it. So
when did you get your level three?
It was last year, because 2 years ago we had a training. And hello, hi Julia, hi Tracy. So yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah,
I got to meet Grace in Mount Shasta when we did the reunion out there, and we got to harass Marilyn together as we trained with her as well. So
yes, level 1, yes,
companion. Exactly. So well, yeah. I got work to do getting this posted all over. So I'm going to let Julia talk to you why my head looks like this.
And Tracy does a great job of making sure we're aware of who's over in the chat and what they're, you know, asking me and what they're needing, what they're saying, all these wonderful things. So anyway, wonderful. Welcome Grace, everybody. If you didn't catch it, it's Grace Love. So it makes it very easy to weave into conversations.
Yes, thank you.
So anyway, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me, for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be on your show. And you know, I've been listening to a few podcasts already, and you always have fun with that. So great idea to create that.
Yeah, we have fun, but we like to have fun with you. Once Tracy is loose, she'll really have fun, you know, because she
I keep looking at you guys, and then I click the wrong button, and then I have to go back.
It's not Mercury retrograde.
Flowing.
Yeah, do you have your flowing mug, your whatever, what mug was it?
No, I don't. Oh. Enjoy the journey or what something.
That's it.
Yeah. What is the weather where you are?
Oh, I can tell you because it shows me on my monitor here. It's 76 degrees in Oregon right now.
And what?
Right.
What's it like?
Oh, yeah. So I don't know what that means in... because you guys do the...
Oh, that's like 21 or something. 21, 22.
It's 25 degrees Celsius.
Hey, I was close.
You were close. That's some good computing over there.
Well, I had to do it when I was traveling. I'm like, okay, they're all saying it's 20, it's 30. It's what I'm like.
What does that mean? I just know I'm sweating a lot.
Right.
It's been very windy here where I am the last 2 days, and we've just been watching the news about Europe and the floods. So sending so much love to those who are affected and impacted by all the weather conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're in your winter now, right? You're like,
yes.
It's winter. So
yeah. It is winter in Australia, but to me, because I was born in Poland, it seems like, you know, spring or autumn.
Right. Yeah. So how long have you been in Australia and like to that it's not out of your system yet?
Yes. So I arrived to Australia in 2006. Yeah. So that will be now 15 years.
Well, that's long enough that I would think you would adapt to the new area.
You're acclimated. Yes. No excuses.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Yes. It's very interesting. Even my body, like it feels... It's quite strange because obviously it's the other side of the globe. Like it feels like in autumn, it feels like spring. I always want to kind of clean up the house, you know, make some changes, you know, mm-hmm. and then in winter, I feel so refreshed, quite the opposite
way. So I'm going to interrupt the fun chat to let you know that you have some of your Australian support system in the chat room. I finally got over to that. Sorry, it took me so long to get everything posted over there, but let's say hi to Judy and Corey and Amy and John and Holly and Joanne. They're right here with us and they're all saying hi to you, Grace.
Yay. And hello, everybody.
Yeah, and if anyone else wants to join us in the chat, that's on Facebook, and it's at BBS Radio TV on Facebook, and just go to the banner with our pretty little mugs on it, and you can start chatting with us. If you're watching this later on any of the other posts, like YouTube or anything like that, that's not going to help you to go there and look for it, because we're not live at that point. And I just realized that the other day when people were posting on the YouTube when... Oh, it's so good to see you live. And I'm like, oh, but we're not live when we're on YouTube. So if you're watching it on YouTube, we're not live there. But if you want to catch us live, it's Friday nights. We are on Facebook, BBS Radio TV, and there's a lot of different time zones. So let's just give, 1:07 Central? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one I go to.
That's the one Julia goes to. Yeah, I'm 5:00 Pacific. And Grace, I really butchered yours, so I'm really sorry, because she's over in Australia and she's a day ahead of us. And my computer told me it was 16 and a half hours, and apparently it's 17 hours difference. So
yeah, it depends on the
speech. She's been waiting to chat with us. Sorry.
Good deal.
Yeah, so please continue. Everyone's going to keep saying hi in here, and I'll jump in every once in a while and share with you who's all... We've got a bunch of people saying hi to you. And Therese, I do have to say something. Okay, so when you posted about the show yesterday, I shared it. And we had Pacific time, we had Central time, we had East Coast time. And then Therese gets on there and she says, what about Mountain time? And she posted Mountain time. So there was some Mountain girls getting on the post on my share, you know, getting all excited that Mountain time was finally posted. So yes, there is Mountain time too. So very cool. Anyway, we'll let you continue.
Well, we can always say course. Cosmic time, you know, no time at all. You know. It's like beyond time and space. I guess that show is all about, you know, metaphysical nature beyond the physical, beyond what's, you know, logically maybe accepted or understood. So
right, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so we are here, and that's the best thing. That's the most wonderful thing. We are. So we can just call it now.
Mm. Okay, let's just do that. We're on now time. And
yeah, we're here now. Come join us.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we want Grace's, we want her journey, all the grit,
yes,
all the, dirt, all
that
the sweat and tears it took to get here, Grace.
You're reading my mind, Tracy. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, so how we like to do this, Grace, as you probably noticed with the other shows, is we want to know your journey. Yeah, so like, where did everything start? Have you always been into metaphysics? Have you always, I mean, like, let's go way back, you know, and just talk about your life and how you got here.
Mm-hmm. Mm. it's interesting, yes. So let's start with this physical life, because that's obviously, we'll talk about that, we're here. Mm-hmm. As I said, yeah, I was born in Scotland.
I didn't mean that far back, I meant within this life.
Yeah, that's right. So I was born in Poland 46 years ago, so it's been a while. And so Poland, very Roman Catholic country, beautiful country, with beautiful nature, and it's such a wonderful, an opportunity to see the nature, because there's the sea on the top, up north, mountains on the south, and then rivers and lakes on each side. So it's a beautiful place to visit. So if you know anyone hasn't been to Poland, so I highly encourage to visit, just for that at least. And people are very hospitable. I mean, you know, through the history, I mean, Poland was not even on the map at one point. So obviously that has affected, you know, the way people think or their beliefs as well. And all that strong value of freedom that I carried as well. And I guess, you know, that's always has been on my mind throughout the life. That's something that is very important to me, freedom. And obviously freedom may come in different shapes and for everybody might mean something else. you know, and especially, I guess, in those recent times, you know, the last 2 years, that freedom might have been restricted for many people around the world. Yeah. And luckily, you know, being here in Australia and especially in Adelaide, we've just been so blessed, you know, been so blessed. I mean, I wore my mask only once when I went to a Mac shop, you know, the Apple shop, just, you know, get the computer repaired. But so other than that, you know, life is as normal, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really blessed and honored. And especially I feel so grateful to the First Nation people who, you know, have been nurturing this land for thousands of years that I'm able to be here today. And, you know, and the journey in terms of metaphysical stuff or beyond the physical, I guess that was started through my culture and my parents, you know, through the religion. And as a little girl, I was praying to God. That's how I was brought up. So that was something obviously not tangible, mm-hmm. right? Something yeah. that, you know, connected to the belief, something beyond the physical. And a typical understanding of God consciousness or God is, you know, a male figure, especially from that background, religious background, you know, it's either good or bad, you know, hell and heaven, things like that. So,
was my upbringing. Was God in your culture like so many, well, the religious God, like the old man on the throne?
I just had that conversation today. Crazy.
was it the same?
Yeah. Yes, that was very patriarchal, you know, in that way. And interestingly, when I was a teenager and when I was attending church, you know, I was going to church twice a week. Beautiful community on Thursday nights, I remember, you know, there were groups of us young people coming together, singing, very beautiful community. On Sundays, when there was a major mass for everybody, that was a little bit different. And that's when things started to change for me. Because the priest started talking about politics, or I was aware of it, that they talk about that. And it was all about politics and money. So something was not quite right for me, you know, in that aspect. So not the God aspect, but the institution kind of aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then things shifted for me. I started delving into astronomy, astrology. What do you call this? It's radiastrology. When you have the water, like a sticks, and you try to find water in the ground.
Oh, the dowsing rod.
Dowsing. Uh-huh. The dowsing. Also seeing. I was able to practicing auras.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Which I didn't know. I saw it always in church. I always saw people, you know, and auras around everybody. And then I didn't know what it was.
Well, let me go back a little bit, because you said you started doing that. What got you, what caused you to do that? What caused you to get into these things?
Well, I don't really know exactly where there was a pinpoint apart from that turning away from church in the way, because in the church they said, you know, you're not supposed to believe in any horoscopes. Or,
so it was, you know, advertising. Those, right. You're like, know? Oh, I need to go check that out.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, well, that's not working. Let's check Grace, other things out.
For sure. Say no.
And there was also another thing, maybe. Yeah. maybe when I was little, I remember it was one point, I can't remember how old I was. Maybe I was 8 or 9.
I just want to say she looks innocent, right? She kind of looks innocent, but look at her. She's like, the priest told me not to. So I did. Okay, keep going.
Again, you know, we talk about that freedom and being restrictive, you know, and I guess that has been in my life. You know, if someone tells me I can't do something, I question it. Why?
Yeah,
you know?
He started Why exploring not? Your options there. Yeah. I love it.
It's like with when we talk to the SC, you know, I say, no, we can't do that. So why? Why can't we do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so it's very helpful.
And for those that are listening that don't know what the SC reference is, that's the subconscious mind that we talk to when we're in a QHHT session. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sometimes yes, I guess forget we have our own language.
That's what
we do.
Yeah.
The curiosity, my curiosity, I guess, always been there. And that led me to, you know, different aspects. I was curious about myself, curious about other people. Again, as I said, I was observing other people. I didn't know what it meant when I saw people's auras. And I didn't even know that was a thing. And that others didn't see it because, mm-hmm. you know, it's when you kind of, you know, little, you just think everybody is the same, you know. and then there was also, anyway, so I was talking about this when I went for a trip. There was one gentleman, he had a little machine. It's like in those old movies. He was just like making a music, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And it's very
like the little music box type thing where you want.
Yeah, like a music box. And then he had also like a parrot on his shoulder, I remember. And he was giving, like I said, you had to kind of tell him what date of birth you were, and then he gave you a little horoscope based on your, you know, your sign, zodiac sign. Mm-hmm. But I remember I still have to this date, this piece of paper, believe it or not, you know, 30 odd something years after. And it was about... you know, I'm Pisces from the horoscope, Chinese horoscope. And it's that, and talked about what my future will be, you know, things like that. And so, wow, that's fascinating. So already some kind of, you know, hypnotic kind of suggestions, you know, when you're little, went into my mind by reading it, obviously. And, but, you know, it's almost like, all that was on that paper has happened in my life, you know, in one way or another. So it's very interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started to kind of delve into those matters of manifestation and, okay, if you can say something, then maybe it will happen. And that's been my whole life since I remember whatever I put it out there, it happens, you know. So for me, it's, you know, manifestation is not something strange. It's not something magical. It's just pure law of universe, you know. It's just
it. At work. It's like, why not? Why can't you do it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody does. Why not? Why God?
Exactly.
That's right. And then, so I was developing, then I found out through friends, more about how to read auras, that it's actually such a thing. Interestingly, also, my diet has been changing over the years to lighter and lighter in terms of physical food. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, on the side of it. And also, another thing I recall, when I was out, it was like a school camp. I had this thought came to my mind that I can telepathically talk to someone. And it came out of nowhere, you know? And I said, wow, you know, I guess, again, I was maybe 10 at the time, you know? So where did it come from? Wow. I mean, we only, you know, when I was 8, we had a first time black and white TV. So there was no such thing like to get it through media. Like now you can hear about it.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of almost normal, you know, to hear about anything metaphysical.
Well, I mean, definitely. Let's give perspective to this. Was there internet?
No.
Were there cell phones?
No, there was no phones. We didn't even have a phone.
There you go. People, you've got to understand what's happened in this time, in the span of
more like a big deal.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like this natural process, right, occurred. And because I was curious about myself, I started to investigating it, you know, and up to today, you know, very blessed and thankful to you, Julia, and your mom, because I wouldn't be here, you know, if it wasn't for you and your mom to be here and doing this work. And I'm just continuing investigating, continuing exploring consciousness and myself.
Well, can you go down that road a little bit? Man, that's so wonderful. And so glad you did find your way here, I think. So you were exploring and everything. So how, a little bit more, I mean, we've got some more time. Okay. So we need to fill this time. Mm-hmm. All right. That's what we're doing here. Yeah. So we want to know more of the details of how you, you were exploring, but then how did you find QHHT? Was it through finding
mom? So QHHT, yes. But yes, that is an interesting story.
See, I knew it was.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it usually is. Uh-huh. You know, it's skipping a lot of things in between while I came to Australia. And there was a few things that happened before I found QHHT. In particular, there were days, one day, for example, I was organizing a vegan festival in Adelaide. It was 2010. And on that day, I didn't have anything to eat or drink, just naturally, because it's just the way it was. I was just busy. and then on that day, on the festival, we had a raffle to be drawn. And there was, you know, maybe 300 tickets in a bucket. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting at the stage. There was a few people who came directly to watch the draw, and others were not participating. But, you know, I still had the tickets. And I remember I put this thought, and we continue with the manifestation, how things work. And I remember putting this thought, I said, okay, well, and I'm saying through the microphone, well, let's say, wouldn't it be nice if you guys here, you know, you gathered here, that you're the ones who will win something, you know, actually, those who are participating here. And I said, so I'm wondering whether we can do a little deal. You know, if you tell me the color of your ticket, and there were several different tickets, I'll just try to grab the color of the ticket. And hopefully it's going to be your ticket. Uh-huh. So everybody was happy. Yeah. So let's do that. And I remember, you know, there was maybe around 10 or 12 people there sitting on the grass. And each person by each person, I got the ticket for them. Oh, you know, for me, that was mind blowing. How is this possible out of 300? Okay. Maybe one is a coincidence, maybe two. But all 10?
All of them. Wow. You know?
But you heard it's the magic strange. Phrase, didn't you? Tracy, did you hear the magic phrase?
The magic is real?
No. The magic phrase that she
said.
What
would happen if, or wouldn't it be fun?
Wouldn't
if?
It be wonderful? Wouldn't it be, wouldn't whatever it be you said, wonderful. Wouldn't it be yes. something? Yes. And we got that phrase. To be a magical manifestation phrase.
Yeah. Wouldn't yes. it be wonderful if? Mm-hmm. If everyone that showed up got to
wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be, you know, exciting?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. We're living our life by those phrases right now. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
I love it.
So that got me thinking, you know, a lot about the power of the mind. And, you know, the journey continued, and I was, you know, on my happy way of, you know, running the festival. And also at the time I was also involved in running an organic restaurant in Adelaide. And then 2011, so that was just a year after that, I went to a business seminar. Now, finally, interestingly enough, the name of the show or the seminar was Date with Destiny. And that changed everything. That changed literally a lot in my life. It was like, you know, half of the life was finished and then the new life started since. Mm. And that's when I had my out-of-body experience during that seminar. And after the experience, that's how my name also was given or chosen or changed, if you may, to Grace
okay.
Love.
Okay, so I want to know more about the out-of-body experience. You can't drop something like that and not just expect us to just yes. walk off, okay? We'll talk about that.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So again, it was part of the manifestation as I see it now, looking back at the perspective, you know, from this perspective. In the morning, or just you know, we're supposed to write down the list of things that we would like to manifest or happen for us, and most of the people then, it was maybe, you know, 1,000 people were writing about things you know, related to their business or having right. a new house, things like that. And in my curiosity, you know, I just wrote, I wanted to achieve enlightenment. So I wanted to manifest this in my life. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? It would be wonderful to know what it's
like.
It would
be wonderful if you just experienced all of that. Yeah. And more.
That's right. So in the evening that day, we were, as we call it, meditating or putting our manifestations into the universe, into so for them to happen in the next coming year. Well, for me, it didn't happen the next year, it happened at night. And there's a lot of things that happen, and it seemed to be like in physical realm, like 2 hours have passed, but for me it was maybe, you know, a minute from my perception. So it was very short, but a lot happened in that short time. And basically what happened when we were starting putting the intentions into the universe, if you may, with our eyes closed, suddenly I found myself moving through different stages of whiteness, of white light, if okay. you may. And but this each part of the white light, it's this stage, also had a different feeling, different perception of it. So for example, you know, it was like a almost like an aspect of love, just more expanded each time the further or higher I went through the love of okay. you know, love to one another, to love to all beings, animals, the planet, everything that exists, to the point where there was this really, really bright light, and it felt like peace and bliss, and I was like, wow, this must be God, you know, this, you know, but it wasn't, but this is what it felt like. Okay, it felt like this blissful state of, yeah, God's presence, as I understood it back then. Mm-hmm. And then I remember hearing the voice say, what's higher than that? And I just kind of got really upset and frustrated with that question when I heard it. Ah. I said, because there's nothing higher than this. How can it be possibly anything higher, you know? I'm thinking to myself, it's like, what a crazy question, you know? And then it came up again, you know, what's higher than that? And I said, there's nothing higher. And that just really started, this anger started coming through me. Mm. Says, there's nothing higher. I'm just, you know, like nothing. It just, it's almost my body's taking off and getting really tense. And then when I heard it the third time, I just said, okay, I'm giving up. Show me what's higher than that. And then when that happened, when I manifested that, I felt a big like explosion at the back of my head,
Wow.
And it was like almost like I was felt like out of the body, but at the same time I saw myself disappearing physically, you know, it's like dissolving into different molecules, like, and then so I dissolving into these different parts, molecules, but then there was nothing, you know, I could just see through. And then suddenly, like, the whole body disappeared. Okay, so it was, and I just couldn't see myself anymore. And then I was, with my curiosity, it's like, it was unusual that I wasn't scared, you know, because sometimes you think, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I was just witnessing, so, wow, you know, okay, well, there's no body, so what am I? What's going on, mm-hmm. you know? And then suddenly I also, then when I asked myself, so where am I, what's happening? It was like I was in the actual cosmos, universe, but really shooting so fast through it, because it felt like the stars were coming at me, uh-huh. at the, you know, wow. really fast. And I feel so blessed when I drive the car to, you know, work or whatever. And when it rains, and sometimes it rains so fast, and so heavy, so when I drive very fast, it's the rains come a similar way, you know, and it just reminds me every time. You know? So it's a beautiful,
a whole new idea of who Grace is today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like beating in the rain.
Yes, like being showered, you know, with that white light.
Yeah.
So after that, I noticed that, okay, so with this universe, so I was in the cosmos or universe, if you may, and I felt the presence. It's really hard to describe, you know, it's like the presence of omnipotent, omnipresent, male and female at once, very nurturing and very firm and protective, okay? And that felt like God consciousness to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, and I remember feeling like it was still separate because I felt the presence like everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it felt like, wow. So I was right. They were all lying to me about this, you know, masculine God being, you know.
There's that man with the beard.
That wasn't very nice, was it?
Not like that at all. There's no judgment, no gavel, no.
Yeah, no. So, but everything what I read about myself about God consciousness felt true, you know, the omnipresent, mm-hmm. Caring, nurturing, everything is perfect. Just, you know, the God loves us, you know, in that way. Every single one of us, every part of being, you know, humans, animals, plants, everything. And then I was just really absorbing this, and I heard, and again, when I say heard, it's not like physical sound because I didn't have ears. So it had to kind of explain it because I had nothing, you know, I wasn't there.
Don't have a body. There's no ears to hear this with.
That's right.
So like a knowing.
It wasn't like even, you know, that's right. Because, you know, when you dream, you have some kind of body, like astral body or what they call it, or, you know, some energetic body. But here was no
pure awareness. Yeah.
There was just pure awareness. That's right. Of existence.
Very cool.
And then, so when I absorbed it, and then when I heard you perfect, you're perfect and you loved, it shifted into that I become all of that that is. And it's that moment, and I'm saying moment because it's you can't even describe it in, it wasn't like time, there's no time, it was like everything and nothing at the same time. And just it just felt, you know, amazing to realize what every single us, every single part of us, you know, of all humans, we all that. It's
yeah.
And I remember you know, afterwards thinking like, oh my gosh, it just would be, it wouldn't be wonderful if everybody could feel, have this feeling, you know, not only feeling loved.
It will be wonderful. Nurtured.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You're getting a lot of heart emojis. That's why I keep looking over, because things keep happening on my other screen over here. And people are just loving the story and connecting with it. So I love that. And and yeah, a lot of hearts coming up here. And it's beautiful. And I think it'll be wonderful when everybody can experience that as well. Just being in
that. Yes. Oh, for sure. Because I said, yes, it's not just that feeling of being loved and protected and safe and that everything is well. It's actually being that, having that power to also give that love to another, so someone else can feel safe and protected and loved.
Exactly.
It's like, and it goes both ways.
It's very healing, yes. Right?
It's just out of this world, but at the same time in this world, you know, it's part of it. So and then afterwards, once I had this awareness or realization, then I heard or felt a presence of many different, it was like a collective, okay, not like this one and two and one, like a trinity kind of thing, but it was more like several kind of collectives, if you may. And and I could hear or felt they're asking me, so would you like to go back, you know, you're ready to go back? And I said, no. Go back. No, I'm not going back.
You know, this almost sounds like a near-death experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But it wasn't during
the... No.
That's right. It's just exactly when I was reading afterwards about near-death experiences, it sounded very similar. Like Neil Walsh, you know, he wrote a book, Conversations with God. Very similar, but again, you know, I wasn't dying, you know, in that aspect. It was day, you know, I mean, or evening.
No, you were asking for enlightenment. That's interesting that those could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they asked me again, so are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. I'm not coming back. It's really nice here. I'm loving it here.
And that would be nice. Where's the cake? Because there's got to be cake in a place like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, when they asked me the third time and said, is that your final decision? And then suddenly I thought about my ex-husband and my child at the time and said, no. I can't possibly leave them like that, you know. And I'm thinking about the grief they're gonna have, the mourning. You know, it's just too much. I said, I can't just leave someone like that without telling them, you know, that I'm leaving, you know. Kind of it's just not fair, and it's not very nurturing or loving, you know. So I thought, all right, I think I've got something to do there before I come back here. So I decided to come back and do something else.
We're happy you came back.
Yes.
Very happy you're here. We do understand the temptation back. Though.
Yeah. Yes. But very interestingly, after I came back to my body and my body was shaking, and then someone obviously must have noticed it because they took me out of the crowd. And I remember when I was guided to leave the room, it felt like I was still floating. So I wasn't still fully in the body. Mm. And then we went out. And the first thought that came to me, the first thought, you know, I said, Dalai Lama, I need to speak to Dalai Lama. He will know what's happening.
Oh, my. Sure. I'm back right now. Him on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and obviously, you know, I didn't even have much to do with Dalai Lama before. Didn't know much about him or Buddhism or mm-hmm. But that thought came to my mind at the time. And then when I was out, obviously the people were a little bit concerned about me. They thought maybe I had some diabetic attack or something has happened, because they called the ambulance. They wanted to make sure I was all right. So it was very, very kind of them to be nurturing and making sure, mm-hmm. you know, everything was fine. But again, you know, when the ambulance came, they checked me. There was nothing, you know, mm-hmm. nothing unusual. Everything was fine. And there was also another thing that happened afterwards. When I came out, again, I wasn't fully in the body. I didn't know, like, all the senses were coming back, you know, or drinking. Or they asked me to drink water, and I was kind of biting, you know, the glass. I didn't know what to do with it, you know.
So, I wonder why they called an ambulance. Drink this.
Yeah, no, it was like that. I still remember it. It was like first time drinking and having this physical kind of sensations being in the body. It's like, wow, this is pretty fun but unusual what to do with it, you know. So and I, even like talking, like I didn't know how to talk, as I started to remember how to talk. And then when I was lying down, they covered me with blanket, and I was just kind of like, it was just coming out of me like some kind of energy, or you know, that it was coming out of the chest all the time. I was just moving, like, you know, outwards. And then I heard the voice again, you know, close the door, close the door. And then I suddenly knew I had to do this, okay? Just closing the heart center, okay? And closing the energy to keep it. So I could just really fully come back to the body. And before I did that, I said in a very low voice and very slowly, like almost stretching the words out, it was, the one is manifesting. And that was it. And then, you know, I started to have, yeah.
It was very funny. Don't you know anybody that was around you? This was really having...
Yes, they were concerned. Yes, they were concerned. And you know, when you think about it, I mean, you would, you know, if you think, you know, if you have no idea about anything paranormal, metaphysical, or out-of-body experiences, you might be concerned about the person, which they were, and it was very lovely of them to you know, to show that human nature. And then that was when my name came through, because the following day when we were in groups and someone asked me, what's your name? And I said, and I was kind of still kind of in that zony feeling. So my name is Grace. And my name was not Grace at the time. I mean, before, because it was Kasia or Katarzyna. And then I said, Grace? And I'm thinking, my name is Grace. And I'm just kind of like thinking like, yeah, my name is Grace. My name is Grace. And I said, Grace who? Grace Love. Oh, my God. And my name is Grace Love. And it was kind of like an enlightening kind of realization. Yes, of course. My name is Grace Love. I'm Grace Love. And so it started unfolding like that. And then later on, legally, I changed that to Grace Love because I couldn't be anything else than that, you know, nothing fitted to
yeah, to match your vibration. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I just don't want to go to all the details because we haven't much time left.
Right.
But I participated in different things. You know, I went to Portugal and I participated in a consciousness development program to research the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had experiences, natural experiences, connecting with the tree, for example, communicating with a tree. That was unusual too, you know. I participated in the mediumship circle. As the person in the cabinet. So there's lots of things that happened since. And then one time someone put my name under, on Facebook to help someone that was in another country. And then just for the confidentiality, I won't reveal any names. But for the part of the story, how QHHE came through is like, I didn't know how to help that person by myself. And I thought, well, someone believes that I can do that. So I said, well, let's see if we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, okay, let's gather also other people so we can do it collectively. So I invited three other people to help me. to remotely assist another person. Mm-hmm. And we chose a day and a time. And for an hour, we are meditating and connecting with that person and the issue that they had, to try to assist them. And interestingly, you know, while during that hour, I was able to perceive things that were happening, okay? And then the following day, when I connected with the person had no idea what we were doing, you know, in terms of who was doing what during the process, but said to me that they could feel, for example, they could feel some a pain or some discomfort between, like, on the forehead going to up to the head. And that's where one of us was doing psychic surgery, right? Mm-hmm. Putting, making almost like doing an operation on that part. And I remember also, like, my part was cleaning, what I was doing, like cleaning parts of, there was like a kind of like a spider web energetically in that person. So we were removing that web, and I was cleaning all the kind of parts, you know, where that web was sticking to. And this person is fine now, okay? And the following day confirmed all these things that they could feel that were happening to them. And that made me think, you know, a little bit more and more, okay? And I asked the three people who I invited, who was doing the operation, the actual operation, to give me a book to read, to kind of introduce me to some further work. And they suggested Convoluted Universe by Dolores Cameron. Yay! So that's the story.
So now you go down.
And that's right. That's how it started. And so I started watching some videos, reading the books, and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to actually do such a thing? And I wonder if it's possible. And then so I found out, oh, actually it is possible. And and that's how I came across the training. And I knew Julia, of course, and that's how it started. And I got on the level one and then level two, and I loved it. I assisted a lot of people through that journey. Mm-hmm. And it's been wonderful since. I mean, it helped me being more grounded. And I guess, you know, how each level three practitioner is brings some other their own part of it, you know, their own part into the process. With me, it's more like I feel that balance between the very logical, analytical, and very spiritual, bring all those parts together and integrate that through the process. And I think that's unique, you know, what I bring to the table when people connect with me.
Yeah,
obviously the experience of the oneness is part of it, and a lot of people have those experiences during the sessions, connecting with the oneness, or even leaving the body. You know, I had a lady floating out of the body, and she was looking at the body, and she said, "Oh, I can see the top of your head and my body," and you know, I said, "Wow, yeah." So, you know, these different things are possible, you know, and physical healings. You know, I mean, you would know. So these things happen, and amazing to watch.
Well, see, in the cool thing, because of the experience that you had, then that brings you into this with knowing that this is possible, that these things can work, that it can happen. You know, because some people bring doubt in, and then that undermines everything. It's actually possible for you to not have doubt because you saw and were one with the all, and you know exactly what is possible there. Yes. And so that's a huge thing you bring to the table.
I think it's exactly, Julia, what you're saying. It's not just the belief anymore. It's mm-hmm. the knowing, because yes. it's the through mm-hmm. the experience.
Right. Because that's so much, would you say So many practitioners, that's a big part that they're trying to work with, to try to get to that. They're dealing with their own belief system. And that can be a struggle for some. It's because logically it's not making sense up here. It's something beyond that. And
yes,
the sooner you can get there, the better everything will be.
For sure.
Before we run
out, wouldn't it be wonderful for everybody to have this experience?
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Well, real quick, before we run out of time, can you tell everybody how to find you, like, you know, if they want to contact you?
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to QHHT sessions, they're only in person. So the person needs to either travel to Adelaide or live in Adelaide, or look for another practitioner in the area where they are located. Mm-hmm. And easily just put Grace Love QHHT in the Google and they will come up. So it's like when you look for it, you'll find it.
right. Okay, perfect. Let's see. Okay, so we still have. I just wanted to get that in there before I didn't.
Any questions that people might have?
Anything over there?
Questions, Julia. Well, everybody's playing with the "wouldn't it be wonderful?" So
good.
Yeah, a lot of people saying hello and like I said, sending you a lot of heart emojis. So if you guys are listening, you have a question for Grace, we have just a couple of minutes here to squeeze in a question for her. It's interesting to me how that shift for you when you came back into the body and you no longer resonated with the name that you took on when you were born. And one of my little journeys was to get to know this author that wrote books about names and their vibrations and stuff. So after having an experience like that, your name didn't vibrate with you anymore. And there was that part of you that just knew you had to change your name. And to me, that's very fascinating how all of that plays. You know, you got all these things in this world to play with, astrology, numerology, just all these different, the nameologies, just the one that I'm trying to think of where you do anyways, there's so many, but how they all
can
work together.
Yes, because my name previously was Katarzyna, and I did in research what it meant, like even from the, you know, perspective of the language, and it came from the Greek language, catharsis, which means nirvana.
Oh.
So interesting.
It should have, it was like you gave yourself a map to get there.
Yeah.
So what is Grace Love? What map is that? Because you already accomplished one. So now you're out spreading your wings for the next thing to come in. Far we just got more hearts. Everybody's loving your story and how extraordinary that is and how close that is to the near-death experience and getting asked, do you want to come back? And no, I don't. Mm. And having the option, here we go. What made you move to Australia? Because aren't people who are being pulled to move to certain places? There are people being pulled, but you moved 15 years ago, right? This was...
Yes. Well, it's very... thank you for the question, whoever asked about it.
That was Lenny. Okay.
It was a journey, and obviously it was meant to be, because when I was in Poland, I had an opportunity to go to Australia, and I applied for a visa then, and I was granted a visa, but things happen in life that didn't quite make it possible. And so what happened after, maybe a few years after that, and again, I wasn't planning to go. It wasn't something that, you know, I planned to go consciously at that time. But later on, I thought, again, part of the manifestation, I read a book by a Polish woman who lived in Australia, and she wrote a book on manifestation, living your life purpose. And again, I said to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful to be like this woman, write a book, go to Australia, write a book, you know, have a life like that. And, you know, I did write a book, and I was just sharing that story at the launch of the book, you know, that's how I manifested it. But anyway, I went to the UK, and then when I lived in the UK, that's when I transitioned to Australia through I met someone in Egypt, and this man in Egypt, my ex-husband, he was from Adelaide. He's from Adelaide. Uh-huh. So I still journeyed into Australia in a different way.
Yeah.
So somehow it was, you know, it was written down that I will be here, yeah. But or one way or another.
Yeah. The gorgeous vibration of grace, love in Australia. And we're out of time.
Yes.
We're being warned over here, yeah. Getting little messages. We're running out of time. Julia, how do people find QHHT if they want to become a practitioner?
Yeah, if you want to become one, if this resonates with you, like I'm searching, I want to know how to do this and help people, QHHTofficial.com. And you will find everything there that you need to know. You'll see the menu. You can find course information. But we have lots of links on that front page that will guide you. And then if you want to know more about my courses in Soul Speak on how to understand the language of your body, juliacannon.com. Tracy, how do people find you?
You can find me at qhhtofficial.com under find a practitioner. And I am out in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm about 30, 40 minutes out of Portland, depending on what part of Portland you're in. And you can go to tracymayhem.com if you are interested in any of the other services also. So that is how you find me.
Super. Wow.
Grace, it's been so awesome.
It has been, Grace. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for this work as well, because if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be where I am as well.
Well, and thank you. It wouldn't be the same without you. So we're all here together and
family. You know,
thank you. Thank you for your part and what you bring to the table. Anyway, we love you all.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Thanks for coming. See you next week.
Thank you.